I held up my hand and waited for him to recover. Then I said, "Hammer hands." Pell's lip lifted, a faint little sneer. His good hand moved weakly, and I stepped over closer to him. "You told Green it was someone dressed like Hammer Hands," I guessed. Pell closed his eyes tiredly.
"Pretty much."
I nodded. "But it wasn't just a costume," I said quietly. "This was something more." Pell gave a slow shudder before opening his eye again, dull with fatigue.
"It was him,"
the old man whispered.
"Don't know how. Don't make no sense. But you could feel it."
"I believe you," I told him. He watched me for a second and then nodded, closing his eye.
"Thing is, that was the only damn movie ever scared me. Wasn't even all that good."
He gave a weak shake of his head and said,
"Buzz off."
"Thank you," I told him quietly. Then I turned and walked toward the door. Murphy followed at my side and we headed back down the stairs. "Harry?" she asked. "What was that?"
"Pell," I said. "He gave us what we needed."
"He did?"
"Yeah," I said. "I think he did. This thing's got to be some kind of phobophage."
"A what?"
"It's a spiritual entity that feeds on fear. It attacks in order to scare people and feeds on the emotion."
"It didn't give Pell those broken bones by shouting boo," Murphy said.
"Yeah. It's got to manifest a physical body in order to come to the real world. Pretty standard for all those demon types."
"How do we beat it?" I shook my head.
"I don't know yet. First, I have to find out what kind of phobophage it is. But I've got a place to pick up a trail now. There are only going to be so many beings who could have crossed over to Chicago from the Never Never to do what this thing did."
We emerged into the sunshine, and I stopped for a minute, lifting my face up to the light. The horror and misery I'd seen on the victims remained in place, a clear and terrible image. But the sunlight and the equally sharp memory of old Pell's defiance took the edge off.
"You gonna be all right?" Murphy asked.
"I think so," I said quietly.
"Can you tell me what you saw?"
I did, in as few words as I could. She listened and then nodded slowly.
"It hardly seems like what happened to them happened to Rosie."
"Maybe Rollins and I got there in time," I said. "Maybe it hadn't had time to do more than a little foreplay."
"Or maybe there's another reason," Murphy said.
"Remind me to lecture you about the interest rate on borrowed trouble," I said.
"Simplest explanation is the one to go with until we find out something to the contrary."
Murphy nodded.
"If this creature hit the convention twice, it will probably do it again. Seems to me that maybe we should advise them to close it down. No convention, no attacks, right?"
"Too late for that," I said.
She tilted her head.
"What do you mean?"
"The creature feeds on fear. It's attracted to it," I said. "If they shut down the convention, it'll scare a lot of people."
"News reports will do that too."
"Not the same way," I said. "A news report might unsettle some folks, but the people at the convention here, the ones who knew the victims, who were in the same buildings, it'll hit them harder. It will make what happened here something dangerous, something real."
"If the attacker is that dangerous, they should be afraid," Murphy said.
"Except that intense fear will attract the attacker again," I said. "In fact, enough of it would attract more predators of the same nature."
"More?" Murphy said, her voice sharp.
"Like blood in the water draws in sharks," I said. "Only instead of being at the convention, the targets will be scattered all over Chicago. Right now, the only advantage we have is that we know generally where the thing is going to strike again. If the convention closes, we lose that advantage.
And the next chance we get to pick up its trail will be when the next corpse turns up."
Murphy shook her head.
"What do you need from me?"
"For now, a ride home," I said. "I'll have some consulting to do," and I suddenly ground my teeth.
"Damn it, I almost forgot."
"What?"
"I've got a lunch meeting I can't miss."
More important than this? She asked. I can't let it slide, I said. Council stuff may be important. She shook her head. You take too much responsibility on yourself, Harry. You're just one man. A good man, but you're still only human. This is what happens when I don't wear the coat, I opined. People start thinking I'm not a superhero. She snorted, and we started back toward her car. I'm serious, she said. You can't be everywhere at once. You can't stop all the bad things that are going to happen. Doesn't mean someone shouldn't try, I said. Maybe. But you take it personal. You tear yourself up over it. Like with that girl just now. She shook her head. I hate to see you like that. You've got worries enough without beating yourself up for things you didn't do. I shrugged and fell quiet until we got back to the car. Then I said, I just can't stand it. I can't stand seeing people get hurt like that. I hate it. She regarded me steadily and nodded. Me too. Mouse thumped his head against my leg and leaned on me so that I could feel his warmth. That settled, we all got into Murphy's car so that I could track down I knew not what. Just as soon as I got done opening an entirely new can of worms with the summer night.